Welcome to the Operation Move podcast. My name is Zoe, and this week we're going to be talking a little bit about how to prepare for either benchmark workouts or even races. And also somebody sent through a question about treadmill running and how to adapt for that. So that's what we're going to be chatting about today. Ordinarily, I always plan to record podcasts in school holidays, but in practice, it never actually happens. But we're a bit lucky today in that my mum has taken both the kids out, so I get my office back for a brief period of time. And so it's quite a treat for me, really, 1 week into the school holidays. And so this week at the, which is actually, I guess the workout's tomorrow now. I had planned on doing my 10K tempo benchmark, I guess, a couple of weeks ago, but I was feeling a bit sick. I'm not sure if I had picked up a cold or it was just because I had the flu shot and might have had like a few symptoms floating around. But anyway, I messaged my coach and he said definitely postpone it. So that's what we did. So I had a week of pretty easy running and then got in back into some a workout this week and sort of normal running and normal strength training, that kind of thing. And so I thought I'd talk a little bit about how I go into a week, because you'll normally have, there will be workouts that I wouldn't, that are just part of training, and then there's oftentimes you'll have things that are more like benchmark workouts, which I would do like maybe once a month, and they're things that I would tend to put a little bit more thought into. And you can also sort of do something similar if you have an event, like a virtual event coming up that you want to just, you don't necessarily want to do a full taper for, but you want to kind of just prepare a little bit more than what you would for just things that are like a normal part of training that you wouldn't really prepare for, that you would just do as you normally would. So for this week, sort of followed a similar pattern to what I would have on other weeks, which was Monday I had my recovery run and I went to the gym. On Tuesday I had a workout and in the morning, which was all sort of like getting me ready for that 10k tempo. So it was a warm-up and then it was 3 kilometer tempo, 1 kilometer easy, 2 kilometer tempo, 1 kilometer easy, 1 kilometer tempo, 1 kilometer easy. So you get long breaks, but it's also a long workout. So that was, that felt hard but good on the day. And I pushed myself that afternoon to do the strength training because I wanted to maximize the recovery on the next few days. So I did that. I did mobility as well before I did the strength training, just sort of to sort of loosen everything up. And then I did some yoga that evening. And then the next day I had had sort of like my midweek long run, but I also had treatment at the osteo. So and I knew that generally speaking when I have treatment I don't do anything after that, but just to sort of like let it settle. So I sort of looked at the rest of the week and like, right, I'm gonna still go do the stuff at the gym, but be aware of like not going too heavy or too fast. And my normal strength training stuff, I'm actually just going to push to after I've done the benchmark workout. So just sort of like building in like a little bit more recovery than what I would normally have. Although it's good to point out that it doesn't actually matter how sore you are. And like I was super sore when I did my tempo workout earlier in the week. As long as you warm up, it's fine. But you probably enjoy it a bit more if you're a bit less sore. So it is one of those things to keep in mind that it actually has no impact on your performance whatsoever. It's probably just like more how you feel about it. So that is sort of like how the week has shaped up so far. Ordinarily, I would be sort of like today, I would be doing, I'll still do the mobility stuff, but normally I would do some yoga and that kind of stuff, but I actually think that today my time will be better spent like just doing some rolling, because still there are a few like little tight spots, and that is one of the things that I like to do before like a bigger workout or before a race, is like when you're on like an easy run or your last hard workout, you'll get a sense of what's tight. And I certainly have a sense of what's tight. And so, and then for me, often my time is a lot better spent on that specific stuff. And it can also be really good to roll and then activate. So what I'll do is I'll do a bigger rollout of everything, and then I'll go and do a mobility routine where like it usually involves some kind of muscle activation or contraction, that kind of thing. So you're kind of, you're relaxing the muscle and then you're using it. And I find that that sort of like works out better for the next day. And also before like a bigger workout, I will also tend to just eat a little bit more. Like it just helps. And particularly like normally I would sort of like have an idea of like this is like how much I need to eat to support training. And so generally that involves some tracking. And in the lead up to a bigger workout, I would be a lot more relaxed about where that is. So, you know, like if there are a few days, which there have been several days, that are very much over where they would normally be, I roll with that, particularly because I've just got my period. It's just one of those things where I just give the uterus what it wants. So so that is another thing, like a little bit of carb loading in the lead up isn't going to go astray, definitely. And so that is also something to keep in mind. And often too, like your body knows when you're about to ask to do it, to do something hard, and it will often just go, yeah, we're going to need to eat a little bit more this week. And I've certainly noticed that pattern is that I will naturally gravitate towards a bit more food in the lead up to hard things. And I just figure the body knows what it needs and I just go with it. And the other thing too is obviously just prioritizing as much sleep as you possibly can. And so this week, I forget which day it was now, but there was one night when Piper came into bed and she was just tossing around, and like she slept but I did not sleep. And so on that night I probably had 3 or 4 hours sleep. So the next day I napped for probably, I don't know, it was like 1 or 2 hours in the afternoon. And it definitely made a difference to the next day. So it's just sort of, you know, like prioritizing those things as like probably more important than, you know, like if I had time to do, you know, mobility or strength training or whatever else I had planned on that day. It's like just prioritize the sleep. And in terms of something like a 10K run, whether you're doing it as like a virtual run or it's like what I'm doing with a benchmark or you're doing a time trial, whatever that is, it does pay to sort of like plan it out a little bit, in that doing like U-turns has much more of a negative impact on it than what you would think. Like you kind of think, oh, what's the big deal? But it actually does take quite a lot, particularly in towards the end of that, when you're actually effectively having to stop and re-accelerate. It is one of those things which it impacts you more than you would like. So when I'm planning out the route, I plan out something where I'm minimizing road crossings and I'm minimizing U-turns. And that can also sort of like give you, I think, I mean, I'd also tend to mostly do the same route I'm doing a benchmark, just makes it a little bit easier. But I think that, you know, I think that planning of it also like can help put you in a good headspace for it. You know, like you are sort of out there like controlling what you can control, and, you know, and it also helps me to like look at it and remind myself that in my case, because it's a benchmark, not a time trial. So the stimulus that I'm wanting from that is for it to feel hard but also feel good. Like I want to feel comfortable in that. So this is not like an all-out 10K. And those little like planning things just help to get me in the right headspace for that, as will doing like a proper warm-up on the day, which I probably shouldn't skip over with, regardless if you're doing a virtual run or a race or a big workout. Warming up is the most important thing that you can do, and it should always involve an easy running or run walking portion. It should involve running short little sprints at faster than what your workout pace is going to be, because then when you go back to that workout pace, it's going to feel so much easier because you've already prepared your body. So what I would tend to do is usually do, I guess, in the vicinity of anywhere in between 10 to 20 minutes of something that's easy, and I would include in that probably 3 to 4 strides, which for me is usually about 100 meters, and of doing sort of like first third of acceleration, holding that pace, and then decelerating. I used to schedule the strides in my watch so it would beep at me, but I've stopped doing that just because I actually like to pick when I feel ready to go, rather than it like randomly beeping. Like I might be like crossing a road or, you know, somewhere where I don't, for whatever reason, I don't feel quite ready. So instead I like to do it so I pick the spot where I'm ready to go, and I find that works better in terms of warming up. So I don't actually have it beeping me. I just like look at the watch and it might say, you know, like, oh, like 1.1 kilometers. So I'll go like, okay, like I'll do this until I hit 1.2. And then, you know, you want a really solid recovery in between that, because you don't want to be like carrying fatigue, and you shouldn't be, should be short enough that you're not carrying any fatigue. And then after all of that is done, I do drills, which again incorporate some more recovery time in between that easy running and those strides and the actual workout. And so for me, drills take about 15 minutes, and they're usually like a combination of like high knees, butt kickers, you know, like sort of like sideways shuffles, you know, like getting sort of like those toy soldier things, A skips, B skips, all of that sort of stuff. You know, you get a bit of sort of like jumping in there just to get 100% ready. And I've done it with them and I've done it without them, and with them is infinitely better. And it was the kind of thing where I always used to do them and think, you know, like it's kind of good. Like I feel better for doing them, but you know, like how much difference can it actually make to the workout? And then I've done workouts without it, and the answer is like a lot. So for me, that is then like a really good space to, I'm fully recovered from whatever I've done in the strides, I'm doing the drills, and then I'm good to go. And I also sort of just like to, even when the strides are done, I like to have, even when the drills are done, I would even like to have like a little bit of like probably walking time in between when I finish them and when I start the run. So that's also something to keep in mind, is that a lot of times when people are scheduling you like warm-ups, is the intent is often not that you warm up and then continuously like go into your workout. It's sort of like warm up and then you probably be doing some like stretching or some form of recovery and not necessarily going straight into it. And so if you're finding that you feel like there's too much fatigue carryover from the warm-up, then it's a good time to like maybe sort of stretch out the warm-up so there's more sort of like rest within the warm-up, or like rest more in between the warm-up and the actual thing. All of those things are going to help, and it is just trial and error to see what works for you. But also like having those breaks in there helps, because a lot of times you'll warm up and then go, oh, I need to go to the toilet. So you also want to make sure that you're somewhere where you can do that. And it can also be a good opportunity when in the in-between to, you know, like get some water or like have some more fueling or whatever you're going it is that you're going to be doing, because that is all going to help to have like the to have a good experience going into your workout. And it can, for me too, like, because you often have a little bit of nervous energy going into something, all of that, having that repeated pattern that I always do before workout, it's very soothing and it gets me into a really good headspace where I am not attached to the outcome, which is really important for having a good time. So it can have a big impact mentally as well as just physically getting the body ready as well. So that is a bit on getting ready for a big workout or your virtual run. And now I'll just head into, I had a question on Instagram about treadmills. Treadmills are such a great tool. And oftentimes too, I mean, there are probably a few people at the moment who have probably almost have less access to treadmills because of some gyms being closed. But if you have one at home or if you have a gym where you can use a treadmill, they're fantastic. I, for the most part, haven't used one in a really long time because it's the kind of thing with like kids being at school, me working from home, it's really easy to go for a run and it's not something that I really need anymore. But there have been times where it's been really useful. Most of the time I don't mind running in the rain, but sometimes when it is absolutely torrential and you have to do a workout, it's just not going to happen if you're doing it outside. So either you change the workout or you use a treadmill. And luckily we have one of those fitness passport memberships things through Josh's work. So I use that and I get access to like local pools and some of the local gyms. So if I ever need to go and use the treadmill at the gym, I can, which is great. But if you're just starting out, treadmill is a great tool because it is lower impact. So while you are getting used to that, the movement, it is just less impact on your joints. So it can be great for that reason. And you can sort of do a mix. You might like to do a mix of on the treadmill or off the treadmill. You might like to be on the treadmill all the time. And I certainly, when I was started running, I was pretty much, I think I might have done like one run like on the weekend outside, but pretty much through the week I was always on the treadmill, just because the time that I had to run was like after 8 o'clock at night and it was too dark. So I would just run on the treadmill. And so it can be a great way to introduce your body in the beginning. It's good to keep in mind that it is a slightly different movement to running on outside. So it is going to favor different muscle groups. So although for me, I found when I went from that there wasn't a whole heap of difference in terms of how it felt going from like running on the treadmill to going and running outside. I mean, you can put up the incline a little bit, but it's still not going to sort of change the fact that the treadmill will tend to be more quad dominant and outside running is going to tend to be a little bit more hamstring dominant. And so that difference can make a bit of a difference in terms of like how you feel. But for the most part, in terms of your fitness level, it's not going to make much of a difference. And so you can just use what it suits you to use. In terms of doing sessions on the treadmill, there are some sessions that work better than others. And I mean, most things that you can adjust to do on the treadmill. Like I find things like tempo repeats or intervals are so good to do on the treadmill because you just set the pace and then you just have to keep up, not fall off. And so it takes out this whole mental component. So I hadn't run on the treadmill in years and it was absolute torrential rain. And there was sort of like, I think it was like about something in the vicinity of about 6.5 kilometers of threshold running, which was great because I was just like, press the number and just kept running. And it was just able to completely mentally switch off and not have that kind of internal conversation when I'm out on the road of, do I go slower? Do I go faster? Am I going to be able to sustain this? Blah, blah, blah. And then afterwards, I had some hill repeats, which were not so great. And because of the quad dominant nature of treadmills, hill sprints can feel quite uncomfortable to do on the treadmill. So you can do them, and I did them, and it was fine, but it's certainly not the greatest use of the treadmill. If you don't have access to hills, next best thing obviously is that, or stairs. But if you are picking and choosing what you want to do on the treadmill, that's probably not the first thing I would go for. Like, it's fine for easy running. I think that generally people do feel it's a bit better if you put it up to like a 1% incline, just because as soon as you're outside, you're getting wind resistance. The treadmill is no resistance whatsoever. So it's just like sort of increasing that little bit of resistance. And tempo, great to do on the treadmill. Intervals, great to do. It's good to keep in mind that with, so say for example, when you're adapting things, you might have something like, say if it's a hill sprint, there's no hill to go down. So what I tend to do with that is, say for example, if you're hill sprint is 30 seconds, then I would tend to aim to have the recovery be 3 to 4 times that. So on the treadmill, you just then do that by time rather than, you know, by distance. And you would just start with walking with it still on the incline. And then as you're walking, probably drop the incline down before then taking the incline back up while you're still walking, so that when you start to run, it's all set up and good to go. So there are just some of those adjustments that you need to make. And it's similar if you might have something with resting recoveries, in which case you would just take it down to a walk rather than do a rest, or attempting the more skilled option of jumping to the side of the treadmill. And yeah, like, so you can just sort of adjust it. The main thing with recoveries is that you're getting full recovery before you get into the next thing. So you can just sort of like slow it right down if it's a more like a resting or a walking recovery, or just slow it down a little bit to more of like a jogging pace if it's sort of like a run recovery. But it is probably just the kind of thing that like shorter intervals are probably a little bit more challenging just because of the changes in pace. So you can just sort of like make some adjustments to that in terms of, like, say for example, if you're doing one of the classics of, which is like the monofartlek, the big where it goes, you got like sort of 4 by 1 minute on, 1 minute off, 4 by 30 seconds on, 30 seconds off, 4 by 15 15. That is going to be a hard thing to do in on the treadmill because of the pace changes. So I would just look at something that is just going to work a little bit better on the treadmill, so you're not having to go like up and down all the time, because, you know, like, it's just going to be way too aggravating to do. So slight, a different fartlek would be better. So you look at that one. And I think that there is, because I think it starts with 2 by 90 seconds, and then 4 by 1, 4 by 30, 4 by 15. So I think all up, the work component is probably about 15 minutes, and the recovery component is about 15 minutes. So you could just do 8 reps of 2 minutes on, 2 minutes off. And by on and off, I mean 2 minutes at probably at about 90% effort, or about 5K pace, and 2 minutes at an easy pace. And then you are getting a similar stimulus, but you're not having to change something every 30 seconds. And so it's just going to be, and because the intervals are a little bit longer, you're probably not going to be quite as aggressive with the pacing, and just going to make using the treadmill just that little bit easier. And if you are doing shorter reps, then do the shorter reps, but have a longer recovery period of time so you have time to sort of do all of those sort of speed changes that you would do. So yeah, those are just a few of the ways that you can use a treadmill, and particularly if you are finding it challenging in terms of like pacing, like you find that you go out too hard and then sort of like fade a bit, it can be a great way to kind of like get into the rhythm. But it also is something to keep in mind that it is a skill, because most of the time when you're running outside, you are speeding up and slowing down like based on how your body is feeling, and you're not really doing that on the treadmill. You're setting a pace and that you and you're going, and so it can feel a bit strange to get used to. So I tend to start with something a bit conservative and then just increase the speed as I'm feeling better. And so yeah, and it is good also to keep in mind that it's a training tool, but for the most part, if you're training for a race or something like that, you're going to be outside, so you want experience outside as well. But it doesn't have to be every run, and there are certainly people who train for races and do 95% of all of their work on a treadmill, and it doesn't really impact anything. So so it can just be down to a preference of like what works for you, what's going to fit best in best with your schedule, what you enjoy the most, because for some people it can be a really like difficult to do longer stuff on the treadmill, and mentally it can be a bit more challenging, where other people really enjoy it, and so and they find it like there's just less barrier to getting out there if they can just go and use the treadmill and it's right there. So it's sort of just more about finding what you like and what you enjoy. And you might find, even like say you've got something that's sort of like intimidating you a little bit, you might just say, actually, I'm going to do that on the treadmill because I can like just set the pace and mentally check out. And or it may be the kind of thing where you want to do some like progression runs on the treadmill to work on your pacing, or it might just be the kind of thing where you live in a climate that is particularly inhospitable in either summer or winter, and it just makes your running a bit more enjoyable. So those are some things for the treadmill. If you have a question for the podcast, just shoot me a message and I'm more than happy to chat about that. I'm not sure if there will be a podcast next week because of school holidays, but if not, definitely the week after when they're back, and I will chat to you then. If you would like bonus episodes of the podcast, you can head over to patreon.com/opmove and access bonus content, training plans, depending on the tier you pick. You can also sign up for custom programming monthly. You can also do that through the website, of course, as well. And check out what's on offer with Run Club. And also at the moment we're accepting new registrations for the introductory program, which is 8 weeks. It focuses on a structured walking program and an introduction to strength training. I tend to do it in the 2 months before the next round of Learn to Run starts. So if people want to do it before Learn to Run, then they can, and it can be a great way of starting to establish the habits and starting to get a sense of some of your routines and getting some of that base aerobic fitness through walking and hills and stuff like that. So if you want to sign up for that, I will also put that link in the notes as well.